Hello, and welcome to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Today's sermon is by guest speaker Joyce Peachy Lind.
On the first night of CMC's Bible school in early August, the children who entered the sanctuary walked in to see a sandbox sitting right here on the stage. Pastor Jason had brought in one of those green turtle-shaped sandboxes, and he filled it with 150 pounds of sand, I think. On the other side of the stage, he had placed some logs, like you would put in a campfire, and within the logs was a candle, which Jason had lit. A real candle with real fire was setting on the stage unattended. Now, I don't know about you, but because I have spent the last 10 years as a first grade teacher, the thought of 30 children bouncing into the sanctuary with an untended sandbox and an open flame had me slightly on edge. And so as the children arrived, I helped make sure everyone sat in their proper places and set boundaries for where children were allowed to be. Everyone sitting right up front on the floor, no one running around, no lurking in the back rows, everyone off the stage. Now, a few children were curious about the candle, and Justin and I made sure we knew where the fire extinguisher was. A couple of children crept up onto the steps and peered into the sandbox, but no one messed with it. All was orderly and regulated as Bible school began. After a time of singing together, Pastor Jason began his opening meditation. He started by asking if any of the children had been to the beach this summer and whether they'd found things in the sand. Well, it wasn't long till he pulled out couple of small shovels, and he asked, "Who would like to dig for treasure in the sandbox?" Well, of course, everyone. Hands shot up. Everyone was waiting expectantly, hoping they would be chosen. And two children were picked to do the digging. There was a collective groan from the rest of the children, and the two volunteers came forward, and Jason handed each of them a shovel. Suddenly, there was a rush to the front with children coming up out of their seats onto the stage, vying for spots around the sandbox. There was some gentle pushing and jostling as smaller children tried to get closer and bigger children butted in front of them. And inside my head, my first grade teacher voice said, "Oh, Jason, what have you done? This is going to be chaos." And it was chaos for a little bit. But at that point, Jason, who was now in the midst of the children gathered around the sandbox, began to speak. Now he had their attention. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus' followers were gathered together. Ever since Jesus had been taken up into heaven, they spent most of their time in Jerusalem, praying and eating together and waiting for the Holy Spirit, as Jesus had instructed them to do. As they talked amongst themselves, they remembered Jesus' words and retold their shared stories. They recalled the first time they'd heard him speak. Jesus had a way of describing the kingdom of God that inspired a passion for justice. He empowered people, especially those who lived on the edges of society. And Jesus, he wasn't afraid of anyone, not the sick or the unclean, certainly not the Pharisees who tried to provoke him and hold him to the letter of the law. There had been amazing signs, miraculous healings, and the telling of stories, always the stories. People followed him everywhere, and they hung on his words. The journey with Jesus had been a whirlwind of events, and his followers had stuck together through it all, through his arrest and his crucifixion, his resurrection appearances, and his strange disappearance into the clouds. Now they had settled in together in Jerusalem and were waiting for his return, and waiting to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. As I think about all the disciples had been through up to this point, I can imagine that the stress of all those events was surely taking its toll, and perhaps some in the group had grown tired of waiting and were reassessing their direction, even questioning their commitment to the movement. As they waited for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the promises of a new kind of kingdom must have rung hollow. The beleaguered group of Jesus' followers gathered together on the morning of Pentecost, as they had done many times before. And suddenly there came a sound like a powerful rushing wind. A dissonant chorus of voices rose as everyone began shouting and speaking from a place deep within, in languages that were at once familiar and strange. People came from all over the city to see what was happening and became a part of the commotion. Showing up like hurricane winds and dancing flames, the Spirit looked like a big, chaotic mess. Now, God had their attention. We know what it's like to wait for the Spirit too, don't we? We know what it's like to grow weary of waiting for the coming of God's promised kingdom where peace and justice prevail. In the last months and weeks, even days, our world has been turned upside down. All of us can think of many places of turmoil in our country and in our world. No matter our vantage point, we can see chaos, and it makes us anxious. We see power and leadership that is reckless and unaccountable, systems that are broken, demonstrations of hate that result in violence, natural disasters made worse by human excess. All of these can leave us feeling that any glimpse of the kingdom of God we once saw on the horizon have disappeared. Within our Mennonite Church USA denomination and within our conference, we see all too clearly imperfect structures, and we ache as we sense disunity and see divisions. We wait for the kingdom of God and wonder why it can seem so hard to find in the church of all places. We wait for change, pray for change, and work for change that doesn't happen quickly enough. And we struggle to know the best way to help bring about the kingdom of God that we long for. We know what it's like to wait for the Spirit to work in our own lives. And at times we carry private pain and inner chaos that's waiting to be transformed. On the Saturday morning during Bible school, a young woman rang the doorbell here at church. She asked if she could come inside to pray, since she'd found the other churches in the area locked. I showed her in here to the sanctuary, which was empty just then, and I saw that she was tearing up. "Would you like a pastor to pray with you?" I asked. She shook her head no and thanked me. When I looked into the sanctuary later, she was kneeling here on the steps with her hands folded in prayer. Then when I returned sometime later, she was gone. I don't know what was on that young woman's heart that day, but I imagine she was waiting for the inbreaking of the Holy Spirit, longing for God to create something new in her life. On the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, new creation emerged out of the chaos. The Spirit's power came like wind and fire and blew upon those weary followers, giving them new visions and dreams that inspired them to carry on the work Jesus had begun. In reading Luke's account in Acts, it would appear that the Pentecost event affected everyone in exactly the same way. But if human nature is any indicator, I imagine that the responses were as varied as the people who were gathered there that day. For some, the breath of spirit wind was exhilarating and it drew them in immediately. The words they heard spoken in their own language enabled a new understanding of God's message for all people. Some heard the Spirit through Peter's words after the winds had died down, as he gave an exegetical analysis of Joel's prophecy and as he explained the meaning of what had just happened. Others saw the spirit in the flames that sparked imagination and birthed new songs and music for dancing. Still others felt the spirit through the connections of shared experience as they worshiped and prayed together with friends and shared bread around the same table. Some came to understand the spirit more clearly later that evening, walking through a field under a night sky, contemplating all that had happened. Through the slow percolation of all they'd seen and heard, they began to comprehend this new thing that had come to life. The breath of the Spirit ignited a new fire in many of the people gathered in Jerusalem that day, not because they prayed it into being, not because they worked hard to bring it to life. The breath of the Spirit came because God's creation blossomed into fullness and something new came bursting forth. Some days, it's nearly impossible to imagine new creation emerging from the messiness that surrounds us. We see chaos and confusion, and we think, surely there is no Pentecost power here, no spirit flames. And quite honestly, we're afraid of the chaos and wild things, and we just want everything nice and orderly. But I have come to believe that where there is chaos, the Holy Spirit is already there, somewhere in the middle of it. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were empowered by the Spirit of Christ, whose living presence showed them and shows us how to carry God's message of peace and love out into the world. God's Spirit, which was embodied completely in Jesus, was not lost at Jesus' death, but was poured out and embodied in the believers at Pentecost. That same Spirit is embodied in us when we proclaim God's deeds of power and invite others to join in God's mission. That same Spirit is embodied in us when we tell the stories of Jesus and seek to understand how to live as he did. And the Spirit is embodied in us when we see a vision of a new kind of kingdom that spurs us into action and prompts us to enter into work that addresses the needs of people in our broader community. That Spirit is embodied in us when we dream dreams of new creation that are expressed through music, art, dancing, and playing. Last winter, I interviewed some 6 and 7-year-olds, and I asked them, how would you recognize God's kingdom? What would it look like? If you were traveling and were looking for God's kingdom, how would you know when you were there? I was taken aback by their responses because they got it. They knew exactly what the kingdom of God looks like. These are some of their responses. You would recognize it if people were having peace. No violence or any bad stuff, just peace. If you saw God, you would probably know it because God would be healing people. One way you can know of God's kingdom is how people are like being kind, like God. And my favorite, how would you recognize God's kingdom? The answer, because you would see Jesus. Today in our congregation, we are beginning a new year of Sunday school, and we are recommitting ourselves to caring for everyone in our faith community and making a commitment to walk beside our children as they articulate their understanding of what it means to follow the way of Jesus. In September, we're teaching lessons about the circle of grace that God gives to each of us individually and within a community of respect and trust. As we enter into this work of nurturing children, we are taking up spirit work amidst the chaos that swirls in and out of our lives. God is already at work here at CMC in the hearts and minds of all of us as we grow and learn and ask questions. As the Bible school children gather here around the sandbox, things got a little messy, and there was some chaos. There were a few tears, some were overwhelmed, and some just sat back and watched. We had to figure out how to make room for each other. But out of that chaos came a joy of shared discovery as all of those little bodies clustered around and delighted in looking for treasure together. When the Spirit is poured out into our midst, there will likely be moments of chaos. But when that chaos appears, we will know that God is trying to get our attention, and that is when the work of the Spirit can begin.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.